Testing.
Okay. Well, since we were talking about potlatch earlier, one of the questions I had was how you explain to one of your children when they're really young what the potlatch is going to be like when you think they're old enough to understand what kind of things would you tell them before it starts.
No, I haven't really told them anything about what is going to come. Obviously, just about know what will be going on, but it's by when these people start coming, it's just about noise.
You said that you learn most of the things when you're young by watching.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Is that the way that you think young people now would learn best?
If they're really interested in watching somebody working, they can learn by that. But right now, most of the younger people really is not interested in watching somebody work. Not like I was when I was a kid anyway. Because I think the reason why they really doesn't watch people working is they're going to school. They went to school and they know that they can read and write what we can do. I guess that's where they really haven't steady us how we're working. That's what I think to my boys anyway. There's times when I'm doing something that I want them to watch me and they're just no interest to stay around watching me. So they'll be even though they went to school and learned all that by books, but they have to work on it to learn. Uh-huh.
So do you think there's really a different way of learning between the school and the way people will like how you learn?
Mm-hmm.
It's a different kind of style of teaching.
Well, the way I watch people work, that's just our old way of making livings. It's like where I learned how to make those fish trap funnel is watch my grandparents do this job. That's where I learned from it.
Are your boys now starting to watch more, or do they ask questions instead of watching?
Well, they ask me a lot of questions, and I answer the questions much as I can, but I just can't explain everything to them by talking, but they really have to watch me before they pick up.
So do you think in some ways maybe school is making it harder for them to learn things, some things?
No, not really, but it's like if they're not watching it, how is the old way of living, like making things and all that, if they don't watch that, it'll be longer for them to learn that trade. Because after they get so old, well, they have to start making things, and if they start it after they're so old, it'll take them longer to learn the trade. Just and right now,
can you think of any things that you didn't really watch your old man do, and that later on after he was gone, you wanted to learn?
Well, not really. I think I pick up pretty much a little bit of everything. Everything the old man. How old man was making a living when I was growing up. I think I pretty much pick it up.
Deliver the load of this Monday. Well, what do you think is important for young people to learn in school?
In school?
Or do you think it's important?
Yeah, Yeah, it's really important. They have to go to school. They have to. Just like now, they bought this native land claim and all that. What I really think is our kids should have. Go to college and learn so they can run almost pretty much of everything that can is what's going on right now. If they, just some kids is smart enough to go to college and they really doesn't, it's not interested in going to college. It's like my boy Norman, he's smart. Well, he finished high school, that's just how far he wanted to go. And if he go any further than that, he would do a lot of work for us. And right now he started thinking about it, and maybe after a while he might go back to school the way he's talking.
What kinds of things does he say?
Well, just like just a lot of paperwork that is along with this native land claim and all that, and really, a person has to be pretty well educated to work on all those paperworks and high school. Kid going through high school can really run it unless they learn from somebody else.
Why do you think a lot of young people don't learn tomorrow
by GPM? Well, I guess they just want to, after they finish high school, they want to come back and just live like we're doing, and really that's not enough. They should have continued on. If they're smart enough to go to college, they should have continued on, go through that too. That would have been a great help for us.
When you were growing up, a lot of people didn't really go to school.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Things was easy then. Right now it's different. It's harder.
You said that you didn't go to school very much.
No, I never. I went into school. There were no school here when I was a kid.
So you never really got to.
No, didn't have a chance to learn that.
Do you feel like that makes a difference now?
Yeah, it's a lot harder for me, because just like if there's a meeting in just like Fairbanks or Anchorage or Galena, really I can go there, because people that go to meeting, they have to write down everything. They have to write down the minutes of the meeting. And I can't do that, so that way I never been to no meetings. Just our own town meeting, that's the only time I Cool.
That must make it hard on a lot of people who really know what's going on, but just because they can't read.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Have you ever thought about learning how to read? Or your kids ever talked to you about that?
No, I've never really tried to learn. Really, what I should do is at least try to learn how to read and write a little bit anyway. That would have been, things would have been easier for me a lot of ways since then.
Well, do you ever hear things from, like, your children or anybody else? Sometimes they get tired of school and say they want to quit school.
Yeah. My oldest son quit one fall and come back, and I put him to work. In 3 weeks, he wanted to go back to school, and he went back to school that year, same year.
Was that your plan?
Yeah, uh-huh.
What did you tell him? If he stayed home?
Well, I was going to, this was still early, just still in both. He was only in school 2 weeks, and he'd come home, and so I put him to work wood cutting and told him right after freeze up that I'm going to take him out to camp and leave him there so he can trap. Well, before that come around, he went back to school.
How old was he that time?
Well, he was 17, I think, 16 or 17.
So he finished.
He finished high school.
Which son was that?
Norman.
Norman.
Uh-huh, the oldest one, yeah.
Did he ever say he was glad he finished?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he's smart. If he went to college, he would have been big help to us. But mm-hmm. He might yet. My oldest daughter went to college. She's going to college on Sheldon Jackson. Mm-hmm. The oldest one.
What is her name?
Elmira.
Yeah, Elmira?
Uh-huh.
Elmira? Is that her name?
Yeah.
I'm still curious about potlatch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And if you were, say for instance, there's somebody that used to live here but moved to Fairbanks or Anchorage, and they had a kid, and the kid grew up there and never been to Hughes. And I think there's people like that, maybe.
Yeah.
And they come back here. And say they come back here for something like the potlatch. And they want to know what it is that's going on, because they don't know anything about it. And so they come up to you, and they say, why are all these people here? How come they came here? Why? What brought them here from so far away? What does all this mean?
Well, I just have to explain it to kids. That's about all we can do. Well, just tell them that our old way is to have a potlatch for the certain person, and just got to explain the story to him. That's about all I can tell the kid, if the kid asks me what's...
I mean, they might ask you, they might say, well, why are people dancing?
Mm-hmm. Well, what I have to do is to tell them that this is a song for the person that's a... way of doing it is that whenever there's somebody singing, you have to dance, clot dance, and just have to tell the kid that, I guess.
And they might ask this, and they might say, it looks like a lot of people come here. When was the last time so many people came to use? Maybe for something like this, besides carnival.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this like the, if the kids come here, it's never been here for all that time, and I guess the reason for the kid to be here is that he was a relative to the person that's we're having potlucks for that. I guess that's what I'll have to tell him too.
When was the last time that many people were abused?
It was quite a while back. Yes. When do you have potlucks for my grandma Ida and Johnny Oldman? It's back in 55. That's when I saw a lot of people. It was in April. In April Carnival. And there were a lot of people here that time too.
Does it make a difference what time of year it is? What time of year the potlatch, or is it more who the person was?
Yeah, it's more who the person having potlatch for. My grandma, she traveled pretty much like over Kobuk or all down the forest. Selwick, I guess you. She traveled, that's all on foot, that's years ago. And she traveled pretty much up and down this river and quite a bit on Yukon too, so a lot of people know her. She had a lot of friends. And Johnny Oldman, he was one of the greatest guy too, and he had a lot of friends all over too. So that's where in 55 there were a lot of people from. There was some from Kobuk and all up and down this river, and just quite a bit from even way down Yukon too. There were people down Yukon was here too.
So they both died about the same time?
Yeah, same year. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was that potlatch like?
Pardon?
What was that like when that time?
That potlatch.
What was it like?
Oh, it was almost same thing like we had last spring. Only it's on April, so we had all the cloth dance and the food potlatch in the hall over here.
How did everybody feel inside?
Well, let's see how you work it now. I guess the ones that get food just keep on moving.
So you take your food and go to the house?
Yeah, that's how they work at that time. But the hall was too small.
What about cloth dance?
Well, that part, they were just special people who were in there. Just people that sing and people that dance. So that way, it was crowded too, but not everybody were in there that time.
What kind of food did they have?
Yeah, same thing, same. Our food. The same as last spring.
Like, what would that be?
Well, the best food we got, just like bear meat or whatever the best we got. That was what we have to save for potlatch like that.
Is there more food now? Was there more store-bought food at this potlatch
than 55, you think, or about the same? Oh, it must be about the same, but there were James's store were here that time, and James had everything in the store. Yeah, he had almost everything in the store.
Does it change things now that there's not a store here, or Levine's is small?
Yeah, it's small. Last spring, quite a bit of that food we have to get from Nenana, Coghill.
How is that different than what? Is it more expensive than what old James had?
Because last spring we have to get it by plane, and it was expensive, but we have to have it for our visitors. In 55, all we have to do is just go over a store and bring over a whole bunch of stuff just by case, and just you had everything. And things were a lot cheaper at those days too, in 55. That's better than 20 years ago.
Do you
still interested in food. When people come and you try to give visitors the best food, that's what, I mean, that's really a fine thing that people do.
Yeah.
And I know that I like the food from Alaska better than any place else. When I go outside Alaska, that's what I miss. So, what is it that, again, you know, like if you're explaining to somebody that hasn't been here for a long time or doesn't know very much about this, how would you tell them what was the best food, you know, describe what kind, like, what kind of bear meat or what kind of meat?
Well, if the person haven't seen the food before, just coming to the potlatch, we'll just have to, sure, whoever it is, just like all the others.
Like you'd have bear meat, you said.
Uh-huh.
And moose, maybe some kind of fish.
Yeah.
What kind of things? If you just sort of can make a list to somebody.
Well, unless the person asks, that's the only time we can tell them what food it is. If the person doesn't ask, we can just serve just like the rest of the people, and the person can eat.
What kinds of, I know it was harder this last hot match because the electricity wasn't on for a while
in
summertime.
Yeah.
But, say if you didn't have that problem, I know a lot of people brought meat, but uh-huh. What parts would you save? Say there are certain kinds of things you save that's the best part, and you save that for the potlatch if you know it's coming. What kind of things are special like that?
Well, there's certain parts in the animal, just like moose, is the rib part, the brisket. The best part, and that's what people can save.
What about the bear?
Well, the bear is the whole thing is can be saved for potlatch.
It's when we were in Galena, and some of the small kids in Madeline's class saw that slideshow.
Uh-huh.
And they were looking at when soup, that moose soup, was mm-hmm. being served. Oh, what's that? Moose head soup. And other ones, you know, I guess in Galena haven't had that for a long time. Some of them, and they said, moose head soup, ooh. And some of the others go, but that's the best kind.
Yeah.
So those are some of the kind of kids, I guess, if they don't know those things, they don't know that it's really special.
Yeah.
There are already some kids who are forgetting those things. But it was funny to hear that.
You never get a chance. See, you never get a chance to come to a podcast like that. Mm-hmm. You never get a chance to find out what they're
doing. Uh-huh. Yeah.
No, they don't even get to taste it. No, they don't. But, let's see, fish, bear, how about caribou?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But last week we didn't have any caribou meat, but times before, though, we can save a, if the caribou is in good shape, we can save a caribou too.
And berries?
Uh huh, yeah, a lot of berries.
I guess that was harder too this past month.
Yeah.
Berries weren't ready yet.
Uh huh. But there's times before we. There's a lot of berries in the food potlatch. But last spring, it was the wrong time of year for us to have the berries.
Last spring, how did you choose when to have that?
Well, we were going to have that potlatch in April, but Wilson Sam and his family, they were outside going to school. And they wanted to be at the potlatch too. And only time they can come back is if they came back in May sometime, I think. So we waited for them. We were going to have the potlatch in April during our carnival. we cancel that, and so can we have it late?
I guess some people, a couple people could come because fish, they start fishing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You mentioned the potlatch for your grandmother, Ida.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering a little bit about her, because you said that she used to walk a long ways. She walked all the way to, did you say she walked to Solo?
Yeah, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well, they used to trade. They used to do their trading over there that those days. That's all the way back in it could be 80, 90 years ago. They have from Alcacut. That she was with her first husband then. From Alcacut. Oh, that's my mom's dad. His name was Leon. Yeah. From Alcacut. They have a trail up Latin River ways, I think, and go over, cut over towards Kobuk, go down Kobuk River. That's where they used to get their supply from.
What would they take to trade, and what would they bring back?
They bring back whales like shells, matches, and food, whatever they can buy. And they bring their furs over. That's what they buy with.
Did they ever get things like seal oil?
Uh-huh, yeah. Uh-huh. They bring that back. That's what my grandma used to say.
Did you ever think about going over there when you were young? Can you hear her stories about going over there?
No, I really didn't think about it, but I made a couple of trips over there. One time I made a trip over there working. And last year when I, not last spring, spring before, when I went to Kotbu for a race, I met a lot of people over there. And some people, not everybody, some people I tell about, my grandma used to be over there, and this one older lady came to me after the second day racing. She came over to me and she told me she remember my grandmother.
Who was that lady?
I forgot her name now. I couldn't remember her name.
Mm.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Well, what did she tell you, other things that they do, what it was like when they go over to Sullivan? Like where they would stay and what people did?
Well, they have a friend to deal with. Certain person from around here have a certain friend over there to deal with. That's how they used to go over there.
And sometimes there's stories that way back Eskimo and Indian didn't get along that good, but...
Well, that was before that time, I guess. Before the, that must have been 100 some years ago. It was used to be like that.
Well, do you remember when the last trip your grandmother made over there?
No. She probably told me, but I couldn't remember the last trip she made over there.
Do you know why she quit going?
Well, she probably have larger family and probably have to stay home with the.
Yeah.
But by then there were stores up this way too by that time.
So that time they weren't in the stores, so they had to go.
Yeah. That's how they used to go over.
So did you ever hear of any people from around here going over after that? Or were they the last ones to go over?
Oh, there were some people that goes over just for a visit. Mm. Yeah, for quite a few years it was like that. And people from over there come to Alcacut to visit. I couldn't remember who, but there were some people that traveling, that's all walking. And dog team. There's four dogs. It's a big dog team those days.
Four dogs. Is that because it was hard to feed them, or were they bigger dogs? Why four?
I guess they were. They figured that was enough. Because they're so used to walking, they don't know how to ride in sled. And four dogs, they can keep up walking with that easy enough. So. And after years goes by, people start riding around with dog team. That's when people start to have longer strings. And so it got to be more dogs.
Well, when people did so much walking, then did everyone have snowshoes? And did everybody make their own? Or
yeah,
people?
Everybody make their own these days. They have to.
Do you make your own snowshoes?
No, not yet. I put up a couple of pairs, but I didn't really complete it, and it's still back the garage yet. Mm-hmm. So I can't say I'll make snowshoes. And I can make sleds.
Yes, a lot of people say it's hard to make snowshoes. Yeah.
Sled. Uh huh. A sled is easy. It ain't hard.
Mm-hmm. What kind of sleds do you make?
Well, anything. What is ordered? Just like for me, I can. Little big sleds, racing sleds. There's times I sell a couple of sleds to whoever. If anybody orders sled, I can make it for them. Wouldn't be the fanciest sleigh, but it can, probably can ride in it.
Do you have any sleds that you made around here?
I got one old one back there. My son got the other one down. Took the other one down. And
is that the one he had with the dog?
Uh-huh, yeah. That's a traveling sleigh. And I broke up my big basket sled, and I don't have any. I got to build one sometime this winter.
How did you break it?
It got old and just started falling apart. And it only lasts so long.
When you make sleds, do your sons watch? Do they
want to
learn that?
Right now, I got those parts in the house. That's for Gerald Oldman. That's our son, but he's adopted to Oldman family. And I got these parts made up for him, so he can put it together himself. I'll measure and help him right along so he can put his own sled together. Because he's got his own dog team, and he's got to make sleds sometime. So I told him I can help him with it.
Does he stay here in his?
Uh-huh, yeah, he's next door. Yeah. He's the one that was in the house while ago.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
When you first saw people making sleds, and the parts that they used, like maybe they used, I don't know, whatever they used to put it together. And nowadays people probably use different parts. There's some like different kind of bolts, or they put P-Tex in the bottom or something like that.
Yeah, Yeah, there's a lot of ways. It's a lot easier to build a sleigh right now, because you can have a screw eye and all different kind of other bolts. It'd be a lot easier than 30, 40 years ago.
What things do they have? You mentioned the screw eye, but what other sorts of things do you have that are different now than before?
Well, stacks for the runners, under runners, we have P-Tex right now that can save the wood, and it's a lot easier running. And all this to tie the stanchion to the runners, older, just like over 30, 40 years ago, they used to use a drill, drill the runner's shirt and waist for the roaming to where to tie the roaming on. Now, right now we can use a screw eye and just put that on. That's a lot easier.
How about the pieces of the wood, the kind of wood you use?
No, we still use birch. Others, people use a hardwood sleigh, but I'm not too much interested in making a hardwood stake. I rather use a birch. I use a hardwood runners for a racing sled because it's a lot stronger and straighter too. But for the rest of the parts, I'd rather use a good birch.
Why would you rather use birch?
Well, just the birch I don't have to buy. It's in our area. All I have to do is just go out and get it. The hickory, I have to send for it and I have to buy it.
How do you find good birch?
Well, there's a special way to find a good birch. Is this fall I teach Gerald Oldman how to find a good birch. I took him out to get these ones. I don't think he pick it up, but he, the longer he think about it, he might pick it up more later. Because there's all kinds of ways to check birds, see if it's straight. But what I learned from Johnny Oldman is not to chop into the birch. I'll be wasting that wood. Just peel the birch bark off just so long, and look at the grain. And look at the wood itself when it's standing, just one birch, it can have a lot of limbs and all that on it. And good birch will be just a smoothed, really smoothed tree, straight. So that's the kind I look for. It seems like I have pretty good luck with birch, what I find. So, I bent that runners and there's two bows I bent over for Gerald and they turn out pretty good.
So you have to steam those to bend?
Yeah, the bow. There are people that really get good ones, good wood, they never steam it, but me, I do. Yes, I don't want to take a chance breaking it. Yeah.
Where do you usually find a good birch?
Well, there's down a slough, there's a couple of creeks that branch into the slough that are really good birch.
You find it right by the creek?
Yeah, it's right along the creek. There's patches of good birch and there's patches of a bum old birch too. So we just look for a birch in the good area. Where there's no permafrost, that's where the good birch is, limber birch.
I was wondering about this is changing the subject from space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you used to track with your old man in those days, I was wondering what old fur prices were like and what other things he had to do to make a living in those days.
Well, when I first remember, the fur price was really low. But after in '40s, during the war, the fur price was really good for quite a while. And after that, it went down again, and it seems like right now it picked back up for quite a while now. It's a pretty good price.
About what were the prices like for St. Martin?
Well, I remember Martin good Martin was anywhere from $15 to $20. That's about the all you can get for a really good Martin. Yeah, late '30s, yeah. But seemed like that those years, they were quite a bit less fur too those days. Yeah.
How many Martin would say,
in your best year when I don't know, were you trapping in the '30s?
No.
But your Johnny Oldman was trapping in, I suppose.
Johnny Oldman, he probably cats 20 or better during the season. It was when they weren't much smart in those days, but it seemed like in '60s, late '60s, that's when I started seeing more Martin tracks.
So now, how much does somebody who does good, how much do they get in?
Well, not in this area, but there's places you can catch $200-$300.
What do they catch in this area?
Well, Joe Beatus, that's what his two boys see. Yeah, it's 320, I guess, last winter. That's three of them put together. Mm-hmm. That was a pretty good catch.
It's pretty outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear about that. There must be a lot of
Martin. Yeah, Well, he trapped from right from fall till February, I think, late February. He might pick up his traps. And he really worked on it. And,
actually outstanding. What's something that you know, a human being can understand a little more? I mean, that's just phenomenal, that many. Say, when you're trapping and you didn't have to, were you ever trapping when you didn't have another job you had to do? All you had to do was trap?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's times like that. Well, there used to be a mining camp up here, and people used to go up there and work. Used to be a low wages, but there's no other way to have income. You just have to stay there 6-7 months out of the year.
And then you don't get to trap either.
Well, we do trap after we come back. This was a summer season.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So what would be a good year for you in that case?
You mean what year was the best year I had trapping? 66 is about the best year I had.
Did that make you feel good?
Yeah, I did all right. I bought a brand new snow machine all by trapping and made my living all winter but on trapping that year, so that was a pretty good year.
What were you trapping that year?
Pardon?
What were you trapping that year, Martin?
Oh, yeah, Martin, mink and beaver. Everything I can trap, fox and otters too.
So how many did you get of those? Did you know?
Oh, I really couldn't remember offhand. I probably got about 50 mink and probably somewhere around that with Martin too. And a beaver I got. Let's see how many limit I caught that time. We got about 4 limits beaver too that year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I started out with dog team and I wind up with snow machine.
Halfway through?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You come back at Christmas? Are you sending your fur at Christmas?
Well, I sold my fur at Christmas. And after that, that's when I started using machine. It was a lot easier. What doing beaver trapping, it was a lot easier with snow machine then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where did you go for beaver trapping?
Down Hog River. And my Uncle Jimmy's trapline.
Is that Jimmy?
Jimmy Heinken. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's down there.
Mm-hmm.
him and his one son.
How is he related to his?
He's my dad's half brother. They got same mother, but different father.
Who's their mother?
Annie. Annie was their mother.
That must be good to be off.
Uh huh. Yeah.
You like that time?
Yeah. I enjoyed it. Long days. March is just good weather. March is a good weather. It's long days and nights.
Were you out trapping when they had a big earthquake?
What year was that?
Was that 64 or 67?
Well, 58 we had big earthquake around here that was during our carnival. And after that there were another one. I couldn't remember what we were doing there. I couldn't remember.
Well, when you had that big earthquake during the carnival, what happened then?
Well, the race was all over. Next day I think that's when the earthquake hit. And I drove my brother's dogs down to Huslia, a few Gibeifel's dogs. He caught a cold, so I drove his dogs down for him. And all those creeks were all broken up. All those creeks were running from that earthquake.